Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the question, who am I? Lord, many times I have spoken about that on this show before. What is this world all about? What's this lifetime got in store for me? What am I doing here? Many times I've said many instances in my life where I've had to write a paper on who am I? Once in 1974, another one in 1998, and even still writing my websites in the year 2010. Who am I? What do we know? What do we not know? And what is this game called life? Today my guest is Craig Colavo, and his book is I Am God in Disguise, So Are You. And Craig will be sharing about how he sees life play out as the game of life. Are we making it so much harder than it has to be? Are we maybe going down the highway with blindfold on and don't even notice all of the gems and all of the things we could be learning on the other sides of the exits? Or do we say, I don't want any of that? We ride along in fear and just of the unknown, and we say, maybe not this lifetime. Let me just get through to the finish line and check me out. Today, Craig and I will be sharing what is the game of life. Craig, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, Jeanette, I love that introduction. You nailed it. yes, I just want to thank you first for giving me the opportunity to share my message with your audience.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, Craig, don't you think? I think we've all hit that wall, and I think if you're kind of paying attention, you hear it once, twice, maybe 1,000 times, right? Who am I? What am I doing here? And oh my gosh, what a life, right?
Exactly. You know, you said we get the call. You know, a lot of us ignore the call, or we turn away as quickly as possible in fear of what that call is.
Yeah.
Ironic that the word God is in big bold letters on the cover of my book, considering, you know, all of my years as a seeker, I was so uncomfortable with the G word.
Right.
And
right.
Things have evolved.
I think the idea of the word God is really where many people have gotten stuck because, you know, for those over the age 50, they've said, you know, I remember religion. I remember, you know, grade school. I went to Catholic school all along. And we learned about the catechism and what it was and, you know, going to church. I used to play the organ, you know, fourth grade on up in the Latin Mass with the Catholic priest. Don't ask me how I did it because conceptually if I thought of it today, I'd say no way. But I know I did it. And when we look back at that, we say, did we take on the book as it was given and just incorporated it almost like osmosis into our being, but really had no sense of what it was about? But now, as we look at it, the idea of God has forsaken me when people got ill or the banks crashed or the material stuff went away or someone had committed suicide in their life, and they would say, God has left me, God has left me. Don't you think that's almost like saying, wow, fantastic, God has provided a vortex for you to now decide which way you'd like to go, yes?
Right, I like that. I too was raised Catholic, and I want to start by saying this book is not religious,
right,
contrary to its title, but I was raised Catholic, I was an altar boy, I did follow the same path as you.
Right.
I actually even had to go to a Catholic high school,
mm-hmm.
Where I wore a tie and a name badge. But when I was a young adult, in college, I studied the history of religions, and I just made a personal choice at that time. I kind of felt that religions in general did more to divide people than to unite them. And again, I have nothing against Catholics or any other religion. This was just my, I chose not to pick a team, is what I like to say. But, you know, Jeanette, maybe it would help if I define just briefly or explain how I define God.
Mm-hmm.
Because growing up, as you know, we're taught to look at God as this external figure, this authoritarian, judgmental, you know, old man with a white flowing beard that's in a throne up in the clouds somewhere that's judging us and watching every move we make. And the way I define God now as an adult is just so, so different than that. I feel like God is our life force, vibrating energy that animates every cell in my body. And it not only flows through me, but flows through all of creation. I mean, it's what connects us all.
Right.
And on the other hand, I see soul as kind of an individual reflection of this energy, the eternal part of our physical beings. I once described it as, if you see God as an ocean, picture taking a thimble of that ocean water and you deposit that into every single newborn. That's kind of how I like to see the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And since energy cannot be destroyed, it only changes forms. So when these bodies wear out, and they will all eventually wear out, our energy is just going to evaporate. You know, that drop of water I was talking about is going to evaporate and return to source. I mean, even Einstein, when he talked about this subject, he said, hey, this is physics. This isn't philosophy. So now, with that understanding, I'm very, very comfortable using the G word.
And I think also, too, the idea was is that in the olden days, as I call it, anything past, you know, prior to the 1900s, it was the idea that religion was used to create fear, it was used to keep you in construct, and it was also used to keep you in line. In other words, if you commit a sin, then those sins became laws, and then the laws became something you could punish people by. So I think that was the old way of doing things. Now in the year, you know, 2020, we've come to the idea that there is the idea that what we create out here and how we respect and honor each other and know that we should be able to care for the earth, care for the world, care for self and everyone in it is so much, it's such an expansive kind of concept where everything is one and one is all versus the idea before of, you know, God stands up there with his yardstick, you know, we remember the Catholic schools. They stand up there with their yardsticks and they want to tap it on the desk every time you deviated from left or right. I think the idea of keeping people in alignment before was a scare or fear tactic, where now we're saying creativity, expression, tell me, feel me, show me, explore with me, become a seeker, has now come on the other side of the paradigm. We're now on totally a 360 difference from where we were, yes?
Yes, yes. And, you know, sometimes I think maybe children need that authoritarian God early on. I don't know. I mean, and, you know, something else, Jeanette, is I kind of resist having my message, and, you know, there's been, you know, the book title, for example, has been surprisingly controversial. And it kind of gets lumped into this new age message, and I don't think it is. I think it's age-old message. I mean, if you look back, and I've studied Hindu scriptures and Buddhism and the Bible, I mean, this message, again, I'm not a religious guy, but I was thrilled to find this quote that says, do you not know you are God's temple and God's spirit dwells in you? I mean,
right.
Geez, does that sound like I am God in disguise? It sure does to me.
Absolutely. And also, too, the idea of so much pain and suffering, and now we're coming to the conclusion that pain and suffering, are we bringing it upon ourselves? Is it from the outside, or are we creating it from the inside? I think that's a big difference. You know, we can even look at healthcare. When something is wrong with us, we went to the doctor and said, fix me, fix me, and believe we have no part in the process of how we even got to that place. So I think the idea of taking more self-awareness, a self-check, a self-knowing is what's expanding now, yes?
Yes. When you take on this new definition of God, or if you do, agree with me on that definition, you know, now you see, as you said a minute ago, you see the planet, the environment, you see all other beings as one. I mean, one of the beauties of discovering this divine nature within is, or I should say one of the rewards, is you no longer see your neighbor as skin color, as their nationality, as their sexual preference. All these superficial labels and layers just get peeled off, and you realize, hey, you know what? We really are all one. And, you know, I mean, it's and just the idea of war and killing people and going into a Walmart with a gun. I mean, if you know, when I talk about hoping to create a spiritual revolution with my simple message in this book, you know, if more people awaken to this knowing, you know, the ideas of killing it would be like seeing two branches on a tree, you know, strangling each other. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
Right. You know, and in your book, Craig, you talk about the game of life and you share some definite points for us about alien birth, the school of life, discovery, epic battle, and surrender and inspire. And I think almost you could relate that to decades in our lives where we have learned different things. You know, our birth, we kind of were like, oh, how did I get here? I got dropped on this place, you know? Then the school of life, it's sort of like, well, you're learning about life as it is presented to you. You kind of are just sitting back and having it occur on us. Then the discovery is when, holy crap, this doesn't work for me. I must know better. Epic battle. And that's really when the part of, is it your reality, my reality? Which side do I go? And truly be able to start to say, is this a dual existence? Surrender is when you said, I'm on the other side of the wall. And then Inspire says, come over, come over. The sun is bright. Isn't that the great game of life?
yes. You know what? And I also found out after the book was published, I picked up a book, a Joseph Campbell book, and this also fits in perfectly with Joseph Campbell talks about the hero's journey, where you're born and you go into this, you get a call where you kind of go into this world of the unknown and you conquer your demons. And you come out on the other side with this wisdom, and you can't just end there. You end up going back to your tribe, he calls it, or back to your community to share the wisdom you've gained. So,
right.
You know, that's I was kind of glad to discover that because it kind of validated these six stages that I discovered through my writing process. So those stages that you really touched on beautifully, the first three are what lead us to discovery. And I found out I was about 32 years old when I reached that stage three where the school of life kind of did its job. It wore me down, you know, all the lessons and all the hard knocks led me to a point finally where I looked within, and this is not some esoteric hocus-pocus woo-woo kind of idea. You literally sit there, and you might even have your head in your hands, and you look within for the first time, and you say, God, there's got to be more to life than this.
Right.
And in that moment, it's like open sesame. I mean, the doors open, your soul will jump for joy. I call him the sleeping giant has been laying dormant, this power within, just patiently waiting to be discovered. And when you finally put your head in your hands and say, there's got to be more, help, you know, the pain is good in this respect because it leads you to look within finally. And And yeah, it's a fabulous getting to discovery. Unfortunately, not everybody gets to discovery in this lifetime. So many people are stuck in the stage previous to that, which is the school of life, which is kind of this unconscious stage. And so, you know, I complain sometimes that I was 32 years old, but, you know, I was one of the stubborn ones. But I'm reminded that many of us are sleepwalkers our whole lives.
Yeah, but you know what I think so too, Craig, is very important, is that many times, you know, as you said, the door would open and you wonder, and people see that tsunami wave coming in, and they say, oh my gosh, it's got barnacles, and then they kind of retreat, or they exit life, they choose an exit door, or others may say, it plowed me under, and I have no way to swim out. I think there are many different aspects in that. So everybody can choose so many varying different points of view right at that point. And whatever you choose is just fine for you because it'll lead you to the next spot. It's sort of, you can't put your finger back in that dam because that, no way you can put that water back. But sometimes for some people it takes many years or sometimes decades, maybe even many lifetimes, to be able to say, okay, I've got my head above water, now what? And that's okay too, don't you think?
Yes, yes. There's no right or wrong answer, and you can't skip any of these stages. And as we just mentioned, you know, you have free will. So
right.
You can be in any one of these six stages for a lifetime, or you can get through it very quick. You know,
right.
My original intention for writing, Jeanette, was I wanted to share with my kids what some of my life experiences were. I mean, maybe all parents feel this way at some point. It's like, why should my kids have to go through the same crap, you know, the same struggle, pain, suffering that I went through? So luckily, since I was a seeker for many decades, I was journaling like crazy for many, many years. So I pulled out my dusty box of journals, spread them across the kitchen table, and it was about a two-year process. My poor wife, I took the kitchen table for 2 years, but it was about maybe 3-4 months into the process where I stepped back and I saw this story unfolding. And Jeanette, I kid you not, it was like someone gave me a secret treasure map. And unfortunately, this map was in puzzle form and the pieces were dished out over decades. But I was excited as hell, but I was terrified at the same time because I knew I couldn't just keep this to myself. And I knew I couldn't just share it with my kids that there'd come a day that I'd be on the phone with you, for example,
right.
You know, having to talk about my message and hopefully, getting back to the question, hopefully help others move quickly on their path. My book is not going to allow you to skip steps. However, I think if you can read it and understand where you are and where you're going, maybe identify which stage you're in, maybe it'll shed some light on the path so you can walk quicker. So that's my hope.
Right. You know, also, too, when we look at our path and we say we try to do it so that our kids don't have to do it, well, in essence, whatever we project out is our projection. So if we have not taken care of our path, not have done something with it, we may see it playing out with those around us. However, they also, too, have their own soul path. They may have chosen to engage to help you see something, or they may have engaged for them to learn something. You know, it doesn't really matter, I don't think, sometimes the way the words come out, but what definitely shows up is that you're just reflecting how your path was. And that is the meaning and the purpose of going through this process in the first place, yes?
Yes, yes, I love it. Yeah, oh, for clarification's sake, my kids are in their 20s. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not kids. I mean, this is not a children's book, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But you know, you are right. I wish I could, you know, show them ways to skip steps, but they are on their own journey. And my intention for writing evolved because after I kind of saw the secret treasure map that I'm trying to explain to you right now and to your listeners, my new mission became to just share this positive message with the world and to raise money for some good causes. Oh, I just want to mention before I forget, 100% of the ebook sales will go to water.org, and this is an amazing organization. I mean, there's a lot of worthy groups out there that donate food and clothing and shelter to those in need, but there's times when charity alone is not enough. And water.org, you know, it kind of reminds me of that quote from Lao Tzu that says, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime.
Right.
Because they go into these villages and these communities around the world, and they're experts and their resources help these communities find water, dig wells. They provide micro loans for, because you know these communities take ownership when they get these micro loans and they're, you know, paying money back to the bank every month. There's pride in ownership, I guess is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fantastic. And you know what? It kind of hurts my heart, you know, that we have to talk about in 2019 about people who don't have safe water and a toilet. But, you know, water.org is doing their best. 25 years, you know, they're touching the lives of millions. So I appreciate you letting me share that with your audience.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I also think, too, let's talk about being able to be responsible for the world we're living in. In other words, while we may feel, you know, this connection to this vital energy or this source energy, it also encourages us to be able to learn about sustainability, about responsibility and honoring things. In other words, we're not in this materialistic world anymore. Once you go through that wall, once you hit it and you know that the way you might have been doing things is just not anymore, you'll find yourself cleaning out your closets, getting rid of all the excess and saying, you know, I'm just going to, quote, live and be present. And that really sets you into a different thought system where you go, wow, and you almost want to raise your head and be able to take notice, don't you think?
That is one of the many rewards of surrender, but it's a big one. And
right.
And when I say surrender, that means surrendering to the discovery you made of the divine within. Because when you do surrender, you're now a conscious player in this game of life that I talk about throughout the book. And being a conscious player, yeah, you're conscious of everything, including, you know, the environment that you're living in and, you know, sustaining the world for future generations. You know, you start to worry about more than just yourself. You expand your horizons a little bit. Some of the other rewards of surrender that I just want to touch on real quick are the three big ones are your health, your personal life, and your finances. And I can only share how it affected me. I mean, after I finally quit fighting against life and just accepted the natural flow, and I was, you know, listening to my inner guide every day and following that direction, my health, I mean, I was a mess. I had all kinds of addictions. I was eating crap food. I wasn't exercising. And, you know, all those addictions and all those bad habits just melt away, because once you discover the divine is within, and you're like, oh, my God, if I'm going to be a vehicle for God's expression, I want to be a freaking Ferrari. So you just naturally start eating healthy, and what used to be hard becomes very, very easy. I mean, back before discovery, it was very difficult for me to lead this clean lifestyle and eat healthy and exercise and do yoga and meditate. I tried, but it took so much willpower. I promise you, Jeanette, no willpower is needed after surrender. It just everything just naturally falls into place.
Right.
My personal life, after I quit fighting against life, I was kicking and screaming the whole way. My personal life, my wife literally moved in next door to me, or my soon-to-be wife. After several failed relationships and struggles in that department, she literally bought the house next door to me and rang the doorbell one day. And when she tells the story, I rang the doorbell, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
And as far as business and finances, I've owned my own business for 32 years now. And for many, many of those years, I was studying spreadsheets and looking at profit margins and sales reports. And after surrender, my outlook shifted. And I just, the most important things were caring about my employees, caring about their well-being, their families, really, really caring about the needs of my customers, not just seeing them as my next sale. And ironically enough, sales doubled, tripled, profits went through the roof. So I just wanted to share the rewards of surrender, because we live in a world that says, what's in it for me?
Right.
And I want people listening to know that there is gold at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, and I think also, too, is that many times people will say they're looking at it, the results in monetary ways. In other words, why do I not have a house or money, or why am I not famous? When in essence, your work might be just to help the person sitting next to you, and that job is just as grand as any other. And it's not always about those outside accolades, yes?
Exactly. Exactly. You shift your priorities. And hey, don't get me wrong. I mean the universe wants us all to be abundant. I went to see Wayne Dyer speak at a Hay House event years ago, and someone in the audience, it was a Q&A at the end of his talk, and someone in the audience questioned his wealth. And unapologetically, he said, yes, I have a home in Hawaii. I have a home in California. I have a home in Florida. He said, the universe wants us all to be abundant. He said, the problem that most of us have is with attachment, not with abundance. So there is so much in the universe, and the trick is just not to get attached to it. You know, this life is only going to last so long, and when our alarm goes off and then we hit the end of the road, all that stuff that we were attached to, that we were clinging to, that we worried about every day is going to be gone in the snap of your fingers. So if we can just remember to be detached as much as we can from our stuff, enjoy it, but be detached from it. I love that Wayne Dyer advice.
Well, Craig, let's just touch on this one fact, is that when you find yourself in the game of life, so to speak, it's about not saying that you have to make it to the next mark in a certain period of time or that you need to get to the next place. It's sort of about being able to engage it in the moment, because your life can end at any day, any time, and it's about being able to experience things in the fullest. That truly is about how do you observe life, how do you engage in it, how do you hold that energy of your life force within you, and how do you respect and honor it? Don't you think that's truly a summary of what the game of life is?
Yes, I love it. I love it. You know, my message in a nutshell is I believe we're all born into this world as a body and a soul, a perfect combination, human nature and divine nature, and all experiences during our life are designed to lead us to this discovery, to discover our soul, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, this dormant power, the sleeping giant, I call it in the book. And during our life, if I could just leave the listeners with one thing to remember, during our life, as challenges, as experience, as events unfold, don't look at them as, you know, life is kicking me again, you know, life's a bitch and then you die, you know, that old adage.
Right.
Look at every experience as a learning lesson. And if you do, just like any school, the school of life is like any school. If you pay attention to the lessons and try to gain the wisdom before moving on, the problem is most of us rush to the next experience without trying to soak in, without being in the moment and saying, okay, what was I supposed to learn from that? And once we could accept that level of awareness, then your life is going to change dramatically.
Absolutely. Well, Craig, it was such a pleasure to have you today. Can you share with the listeners about how to find out more information about your work?
Oh, fantastic. Yes. So I have a website, and the website is designed to not only support book sales, but also it's a place where I can interact with readers. And I also have a weekly blog. Actually, I'm posting on there today. I've also created some prints and posters which go along with the message in the book. I believe it's relatively easy to have this state of awareness if we're meditating or on our yoga mats. The tricky part is to take this awareness off the mat and into the world, so to speak. So with these posters and prints that I've created, you can stick it on your bulletin board at work. I've got one taped to my bathroom mirror. I've got one sitting next to my coffee pot. So check those out. And the website address is awesome, without the E at the end, AWESOM. It's kind of like the OM symbol. AwesomeLife, LIFE.com.
Very good. Well, Craig, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today. I think because each time we say this and we share the stories, many times people will say, oh, it's just helped me in this moment, and that was just what I needed. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
Hey, good job. That was fun. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about Craig Colavo, again, his book is I Am God in Disguise, So Are You. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information to go to his website. And it truly is about not having fear and saying, you know what, I do have fear. And it's sort of like, fabulous, bring your fear to me. Let's have a little discussion. That's what it's all about. Share your fears. Share your dreams. Share your things that just seem like they are going to take you to your knees. We're ready to have a soft place for your words to land, and we will all make it through this. If you'd like more information or a complimentary session with me, please do visit my website. The link is on the bottom of today's show page. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit DrJeanetteGallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.